It's the WNKY South Central Kentucky Weather Weekly with WNKY TV meteorologists Cody Bailey and Christy Stewart.
Thank you, Kirk. Welcome to WNKY Weather Weekly episode 40. We are recording this episode on July 17th. Already headed towards the end of July, this episode is going to be valid for July 18th, Thursday, until Thursday, July 25th. I'm meteorologist Christy Stewart.
And I'm meteorologist Cody Bailey. Thank you all for joining us this week.
Yes, we've got a few different things to talk about. Yeah. So obviously we've been seeing the impacts from what was Hurricane Barry over the past few days for the earlier part of this week. So we'll be doing a Barry recap. And then after Barry exits our region, we are going to be entering into a heat wave. So by the time you're listening to this, you're probably going to be sweating. It's going to be pretty hot outside. And we'll, of course, tell you some safety tips on how to beat this heat and when we can expect to see a cool down, which is looking like it's going to be headed our way.
Yeah, so maybe within the same week of this week's podcast, we get some of the hottest air so far this year, and also some much deserved and much needed relief. So
yes,
kind of an up and down pattern.
Yeah,
within a short amount of time.
And then of course we'll get to a question that we had.
Yeah, we have a question week. Today.
Yes,
I'm excited.
Kind of had to Finally. Ask around for it, but
hey, we got one.
It's okay. You still guys have to send us those questions, topics, weather at WNKY.com.
That's right. There you go. Right off the bat this week, so.
Yeah.
If you're.
No excuse.
Tuned out after a while. Hopefully you're not, but there it is, the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, I hope we're not too boring.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Well, I guess let's start with Barry.
Yeah, so we were watching Barry for a while. I know we just kind of started talking about Barry. Kind of the early stages of last week for last week's episode, and we were watching it unfold. We felt pretty confident last week that we would see some impacts, and sure enough, we did. Really began, I guess some of those outer bands came pretty early Monday morning, then lasted off and on all the way through early Wednesday morning, the day that we're recording this. We're finally seeing that exit the region, but yeah, it was. I was actually listening to one of my favorite weather podcasts outside of ours, but also one of a more nationally known weather podcasts called Weather Brains. You may have heard of that if you're a weather junkie like we are. But they were actually having a pretty good discussion and kind of a debate on Barry, because it was kind of an unusual scenario. First of all, like we talked about last week, it started as a kind of a Midwestern storm system that brought us a complex of storms about two and a half weeks ago that moved out to the Gulf of Mexico, and it evolved into the low that became a tropical storm and eventually Hurricane Barry. But it was kind of, and I noticed it one night too, but one of their discussions was talking about how if you noticed or looked closely at the satellite and radar maps, how a lot of the storm development was away from the center of circulation. Mm-hmm. So I used the I had the same camera view on two different graphics, so it would kind of smooth transition. So the first graphic was the satellite radar. So I positioned the camera to kind of center up all of that, you know, the brightest clouds and all that precipitation, because I figured, oh, there's the storm, it's taking shape. Mm-hmm. And I went to the next graphic, for which was the hurricane center's storm track. And that, of course, when you see that cone, that is for the center of circulation. And that was way at the top of the screen when I saved the camera view. So I was like, whoa, what's going on? So that was a lot of the discussion that they had as well. And it was kind of a weird, I know obviously this happened, it's not totally uncommon, but typically when we see a tropical system, center of circulation, more times than not, is pretty much the center of the storm itself.
Right.
That was not the case this time. I don't know if that had something to do with it being not originating out in the ocean. Maybe it was kind of set up differently, or just the conditions at the time. But yeah, that was kind of interesting to see too. So that also led into another question, which, again, at one time it was hurricane. It was a very low-end Category 1. But the big question and kind of the debate in the weather world was, did this make landfall as a hurricane? And there's so many factors.
Mm.
The first of which, in the discussion, that as they updated it, when it made landfall, it said pretty much quickly, like right away, dropped back down to tropical storm. So it's, you know,
interesting.
Did it make landfall? Did it continue to maintain hurricane strength as it made landfall or not? And then the other question was, since this was kind of an off-centered area of circulation for the center of the storm, when did they justify what was landfall? Because they discussed that it was a very kind of disorganized, broad area of circulation. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, I don't know if it had more of like a wobble to it where, you know, maybe part of it made landfall, but it was just not that normal type eye that you see
right.
that made landfall. It was just kind of out there, kind of circulating. So in the podcast that I listened to, they said that the, I'm assuming NOAA, probably the Hurricane Center as well, will be kind of doing a post-analysis in the coming weeks to look back and see, you know, when it made landfall, what its strength was at landfall, and maybe adjusting the time of landfall too, if, you know, it had that weird disorganization to it. So it's kind of a weird start to the hurricane season, just because that was such a rare, not extremely rare, but definitely, like I mentioned, most of the waves that we watch for hurricane season are out well into the Atlantic off the coast of Africa. So,
and they strengthen a lot more.
Yeah.
I wonder if they would count the center of circulation for this one where it was the tightest gradients of winds and stuff like that, and kind of, because you could still on radar and stuff see where it was circulating. So I would imagine that wouldn't be too terribly difficult for them to discern at least a pretty close approximate time of when it would have made landfall. But yeah, it's that's kind of tricky when it's a weak category one. to determine when, like, if it made landfall as a hurricane or not. I would assume it probably did, and then as soon as it hit the land, it really dissipated. Yeah.
Like, it was that borderline hurricane that it didn't take. Because if you're not familiar with tropical storms or, you know, just tropical systems in general, once they wind shear is, you know, needed for the development, but too much wind shear can kind of tear up the storm. Same thing with land, because there's a lot of that friction. So that's why you see storms pretty quickly weaken, unless they're a very strong hurricane. They don't do well over the land. They need the water to maintain themselves and to strengthen. So whenever they hit land, they weaken. So that's kind of what we're looking at. So if it was barely a hurricane at a Category 1, I would probably say that it didn't really have much of a chance to survive long on land as a Category 1. But then the other part of the discussion, which is what we really started hitting home with last year's hurricane season, is that not to focus on the category or the status, if it's a tropical storm or not. The impacts, when you're talking about the rating, are solely on wind. And yes, wind can do damage, especially if you're in an area with a lot of structure or a lot of trees. But the impacts that are going to affect a lot of people and everybody in the path will be your rainfall, the storm surge, and the inland flooding. Which aren't a part of the process of rating a hurricane. So.
And with this one, again, you saw more of that flooding impact than you did anything else. So, but then again, like, I know people were talking about changing the scale to try to help with that, but how can you really gauge flooding? Like, obviously we can kind of predict storm surge and things like that, but I don't know. I don't think that's a really accurate way to categorize a hurricane either. So
it's one of those things that you feel like needs to be changed, but how do you do that? Like,
you don't really know how to go about it. But that was our second named storm of the season.
The first one, I believe, was Andrea for the A.
Yes, I think so.
That was actually before the official hurricane season started. I want to say it was sometime in May. Didn't really have much of an impact to land. And I don't remember the status. That obviously was not a hurricane, but I think it might have made it up to tropical storm status.
Yeah, I think it was tropical storm status that it made it up to.
So we are...
So I guess our first official hurricane of...
I believe the forecasts before hurricane season favored kind of just above average year. So we'll see. At this pace, it seems kind of slow, but I know typically things really pick up as you go into August and September, it seems like. So we'll see how the next couple of months go, but it seems like it's maybe a little slow, but of course we're still about a month and a half into hurricane season, but
yeah,
not complaining for it being slow. It was,
right, of
these
course.
Last couple of years have been pretty impactful.
Yeah, and we've already had plenty of rainfall here locally without having more remnants to worry about from any tropical systems. So I don't think anyone's complaining about that. If we have a slower season, that's quite all right.
Yeah, it is. The only positive is that it kind of helped knock our temperatures down, but really we've seen a lot worse from tropical systems here with a lot more of a consistent rain. We saw really just kind of a wave for a couple of hours maybe, and then a break for a good portion of the day, and then some more rain, you know, off and on. So it really wasn't as bad as it could have been, or as we've seen in the past. But still, like you said, at this point in the year, we're pretty good on the rain, the rain totals, so we can afford to take a break a little bit.
I do have to say, I think Barry was a little bit harder to forecast
it was.
For. I know that we were just talking about this earlier, but our forecast for yesterday, so again, we're recording this on Wednesday, but on Tuesday, I know on your forecast, you had, oh, it's going to be cloudy. And then when I came in, all of the we'll call it, I guess, text models, they were all saying cloudy, but then I looked at the actual cloud cover models where you can scroll through it and see how the clouds change throughout the day, and all of those were showing that we were going to get some breaks and seeing some sunshine. So I was like, okay, I'll put partly cloudy, but then in my head I thought that we were going to get a little bit more rain than we did. So I was like, so even though those models that were predicting all cloud cover, I'll bump it up a couple more degrees, but because of the rain I was assuming it was going to stay maybe a little bit cooler. And then we ended up reaching the 90s again, and or I think it was 89 technically, I think is what the official
I kind of got burned on the first almanac that showed 93. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know where that came from either.
We talked about it before we recorded, so if anybody's listening, I did post on social media straight from the almanac though. So not my fault, but apparently they went in and readjusted it or something. I don't know. And I believe it went from a 93 high to an 89 degree high.
Yeah.
For that
Which makes
Tuesday.
More sense, because when I saw your post about 93, I was like, really?
And it took me by surprise, too.
I was like, when?
Last time I checked, and even at the update, when the hour that they issued it, it was 89.
Okay.
And I was like, man, a 4 degree. You know, usually, and I mentioned before, too, sometimes, you know, with the hourly update, doesn't show what happens within that hour. So, you know, if the temperature show is 90, I think there are a lot of days during this most recent heat wave that the temperature showed 90, but we jumped up within an hour to 92, I think. So, you know, a 1 to 2 degree difference isn't that bad or isn't that uncommon. So when I saw that, I was like, man, 89 to 93, that's a pretty big jump.
Right.
You feel like that would show up on that update, but sure enough, it was wrong and they readjusted it and made me look like a fool, so,
But the good news is that means our forecast wasn't as far off.
Yeah, because I think I had 86 on my shift. And when I saw it 93, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think I bumped it up to
80. 6 degrees off? That's not what I want.
Yeah, I think I bumped it up to, like, 88.
Yeah.
With the added
sunshine.
So
I'll take a 3 degree difference.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
way
better than 93.
That's usually what I strive for anyway. We were just talking a couple days ago. Station I used to watch in Evansville, Indiana, they used to have this kind of marketing campaign for their weather team that was the 3 degree guarantee. So that's kind of where I try to follow that plus or minus 3 degrees of my forecast high and low. So if that's the final almanac, then that's okay. But if we're going to go in another day this week and read it, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, that's a huge difference.
But then it was funny because then today the models were all like, oh, partly cloudy. And then we've been pretty much mostly cloudy all day today. So Barry's been really messing with us, and it's been kind of hard to forecast.
We're not sad to see him leave. We'll say that for sure.
Definitely not sad. Barry can keep going off to the east.
Yeah, just get out of here.
Yeah, continue to dissipate.
I did want to touch on the previous heat wave before we jump into our future, or if you're listening in
current,
later in the week,
possibly.
Our current heat wave.
Yeah.
So before Barry arrived, and that's all saying, you know, we don't need the rain, but it was kind of a good thing, especially that day that we almost, I guess, almost hit 90 and not in the 90s. But that showed what could happen if we didn't have this tropical system. So if we didn't get the remnants of Barry, and that was really what we were talking about last week with how volatile that forecast and how much it could change, because it was the difference of, you know, maybe some low to mid 80s with Barry, or maybe even low to mid 90s without Barry. So thankfully we had a little bit of the impact to cool us down. But before Barry arrived, we were on a stretch of 9 days in a row of 90 degrees or hotter. I think the hottest day was we hit 92 maybe 3 days in a row. Mm-hmm. But then going back to the last week of June, the final of that stretch was 15 out of 18 days were at or above 90 degrees. So dating back to, I think it was the 28th, 29th of June through the 4th of July, even though the 4th itself was relatively calm and mild, but we jumped right back into the 90s. So the last almost a three-week stretch there with predominantly 90-plus degree temperatures. And I don't think it's going to be as long this upcoming heat wave, but we are looking at thankfully shorter, but also the potential for the hottest temperatures so far this year. I believe our previous hottest, at least 93, it might be 94 this summer. We'll have to look and see, but it looks like we could match, or some models even want to top that later this week. But the big story is going to be the heat index readings, because it also looks like some of the higher dew points that we've seen this year, which is horrible timing, because
I know
the hottest temperatures and the highest dew points.
And I mean, it makes sense when you have a tropical system that kind of carries some of those higher, more moisture, so higher dew points along with that. So I know I was looking at it today, and those dew points were in, I think they're the highest that I've looked at so far this summer. In the upper 70s, like 78 degrees for a dew point, which is just oppressively humid. I mean, you walk outside and it feels like it suffocates
it's
you.
It's awful.
So, yeah, we can expect, unfortunately, that humidity to be sticking around with us. And then we're going to be seeing, like you said, those temperatures reaching those mid-90s. And it is going to be feeling extremely hot outside. We do have a excessive heat watch in effect. And we are looking at having those heat indices reaching 100 to 110 degrees. So
awful.
Yeah, and that's expected to last for a four-day stretch. So that excessive heat watch is in effect from Thursday 1 p.m. until Sunday 7 p.m. So unfortunately, not the best weekend to be outside. It looks like it'll be a little bit drier, but I don't think you're going to want to be outside.
Yeah, I got kind of nervous because I forgot the details, but I agreed this weekend to help a friend out with some housework.
Oh.
And when we start working, so I was like, oh no, and then I remembered it's all indoor stuff. So
okay,
like,
that's good. Goodness. At least it's not like helping them move and you got to go outside and lift heavy furniture.
He wants to lay some flooring down
inside,
and he also wants to put his TV mount up in the living room and do some living room work too. So I was like, okay, I can do inside.
Interesting.
In AC. So
didn't take you as a handyman type.
I'm really not. So this could go horribly wrong.
Are you gonna supervise?
Yeah,
yeah, that looks great.
Yeah, that's a little crooked. He's kind of the. I mean, we're all the YouTube generation, I guess, people our age. But like when I had stuff go wrong with my car, I know I always came into work. Oh, I was watching this video on YouTube. So he's kind of done the same thing. I think he's a little more capable than I am, but he's kind of in the same boat of like he has to go to YouTube and all these different videos to see exactly what to do. So maybe the power of multiple minds can make up for our lack of
hopefully
raw knowledge. I don't know. But it, moral of the story, thank goodness it's going to be inside and not like
and you got the AC.
Roofing or like lawn work. That would be...
Unless your AC goes out.
Yeah, that's the next thing probably. I'll get there. Yeah, part of the work today is we got to fix the AC, so.
Yeah, that would not be fun.
Not fun. But no, I do know one of our master control operators, he said he's going to try and get up early Saturday morning to mow his lawn, which if you're going to do any outside work during this heat wave, it's probably recommended as early as you can or as late as you can.
Yeah.
And to avoid working in that peak heat of the day.
Yes.
That's also when you get the highest dew point levels too, or at least the humidity levels.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, if you do have to, if you can't avoid it, well, I don't want to step over the feet. There's some tips that I don't want to spoil, but it looks like pretty much the duration of our excessive heat watch, basically Thursday through Sunday, look to be the worst days of this stretch. So
exactly. Then we should be getting a little bit of relief.
Fingers crossed.
But yes, as you were alluding to, there are some people that unfortunately have to work outdoors, construction workers, postal workers. I'm sure there's a lot of others. But
we're thinking of them.
Yeah. Prayers to you. It's going to be rough. But our safety tips for staying safe and cool in the heat would just be limit that outdoor exposure. And if you have to be outside, try to work in the shade as much as possible. Our heat index readings, those are in the shade temperature readings. Mm-hmm. So the sun, I would not want to be in the sun during those times.
Oh my goodness.
Make sure that you're drinking plenty of water and staying hydrated. And then also make sure that you are also keeping an eye on your animals. So if it's too hot for you, it's too hot for your animals. Make sure that they are getting plenty of water. And if they have to be outside, make sure that they're in a shaded area that's well ventilated. And also make sure that if you can bring them inside, I would recommend keeping them inside, especially during those peak heating hours of the day. Make sure they get some nice cool air conditioning along with you. And also, of course, check your cars. Don't want to leave any pets or children in locked cars. So look before you lock, because, of course, cars are going to be getting extremely hot inside. I mean,
and with this hot of temperatures, it's probably 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Would all it would take to get, you know, 130 plus.
Yeah.
Degrees inside. So,
in some of our meteorology groups on Facebook, I saw some people saying they were going to bake some cookies and do a little experiment.
Yeah, that's always a fun experiment to do for a meteorologist in the news world, just to do those. I've seen another one that was pretty cool that I wanted to try a while back, but they had, you know, they bought a big pack of crayons and pasted them on like a piece of paper.
Now that would be
cool.
They
put them in the sun. So it was to show like what to wear for clothing. Which colors take in more heat.
Oh.
So the darker colors, they bled out on the paper, and they were way down here, and then you get to the end with, like, the whites and lighter colors, and they didn't really melt all that much. So it was kind of like...
That's
a pretty
really
neat
cool
idea
experience.
Too. I did something similar with actual T-shirts at my last station, where we had... I wanted to do it here, but we unfortunately don't have it, but it was our engineer's temperature gun. So he had, like, a radar gun to scan temperature. So I went outside, hung up T-shirts of different colors from, like, dark... black, kind of in the middle, red and blue, and then a white t-shirt. And at the peak, I think it was a difference of about 20 degrees, 20-30 degrees.
Wow.
I think the white t-shirt was about 78-80 degrees, and the black t-shirt got over 100. I think it was like 103 or something like that. So it does matter. That's why we always suggest wear light and loose-fitting clothing.
I knew there was a difference, but I didn't know it was that much of a difference.
And that's the same thing for car interiors, too.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a lighter interior, it's still going to be hot, but not as hot as a black or dark interior of your car, too. So colors make a difference. It's crazy to see that they're, like, actually testing it to see. You always hear that, but you never, like, put it to the test. So.
Well, there you go. Now you know.
Yeah, the more you know.
Also, wear those lighter clothes if you have to be outside, for sure. And, I don't know, personal tip, if you have leather seats, you probably want to have a towel or something. Maybe, I've seen some people wear oven mitts to drive the steering wheel. That's not a bad idea, probably.
Now, I've always been one to let my car warm up in the winter. I may cool it down, I guess would be the term. Turn it on, let the AC. I usually just get in and go.
Right.
Even in the hot days too, but this might be a stretch just because that steering is so oh my gosh,
that's true.
I do have a black interior, so I know. I can confirm that black is hotter.
See, I have the cloth seats and they're a light color, so it's okay.
I
just have the steering wheel that's black and it's hot, and that never
takes a little bit but...
feels good. But see, I wish I had AC that was reliable in my car, so I'm not looking forward to these next few days.
Yeah,
probably gonna have I always like to have the windows down, but then with this humidity, it's going to be really rough to have the windows down. So, I don't know.
That was still the case when we had Barry. You mentioned how much moisture there is with these tropical systems. Even though I think there were a couple nights where we were down in the 70s and I went outside to walk my dog, it was still kind of that, not as oppressive, but you still felt that muggy air. And it's like, this is a tropical system. We got relief from the heat, but didn't really get anything relief from the humidity. So
I kind of got a little bit more humidity with it. Less heat, more humidity.
Yeah.
And then now we're just going to get more heat and the same humidity. And that's just not going to be comfortable. But also make sure that you are checking on your neighbors.
Yeah.
Anybody who doesn't have AC, make sure that you're checking on them, your pets, as well as children. And also with pets, you were talking about walking them. Watch out for the pavement. That's very hot pavement. So again, it's always best if you can do that either really early in the morning or later at night to walk them. probably skip that midday walk if you normally do a midday walk. But if you do a midday walk, try to walk in the grass and make sure you have plenty of water on that walk as well. Or do a shorter walk, kind of limit that outdoor exposure is really what we're going for especially those peak heating times of the day. Of course, you know, sunscreen, but that's like a everyday thing in the summer.
I know we had a story a couple weeks ago from talking with someone from the Humane Society, and I've always heard, you know, if the pavement's too hot for you, it's too hot for them. But they suggested a test, too, which I did one day. I believe it was either the palm of your hand, since that's kind of more tender. And also, I think she said the elbow, your elbow. Put it on the pavement, and if you can't stand it for 5 seconds before you have to pull it away because it's too hot, then it is too hot. But if you can leave it on there and stand, just because those are the more sensitive parts of your body. So I did that one day, and it was... I lasted more than 5 seconds, but it started to get that little. So tried to, my dog's just kind of, you know, dog in their own world. But I tried to pull her over into the grass and walk to the grass as much as we can. And so definitely do that. I'll probably be going out earlier and later than, well, late's not a problem. I get home when it's dark. So that early day, like you said, might skip that midday walk and go out early in the morning before it gets too hot. And and my dog loves ice trips too, so I'll be giving her a lot of a lot of ice during this stretch too.
See, I've got a pool in my backyard, so my dog loves to play in the pool.
And I know Soki, I've seen her play in her pool too. So.
But also, I read today that there's a thing called water intoxication that dogs can get. So if your dog is a water lover like mine or Soki, just monitor that a little bit, because if they drink too much or play and, you know, intake too much, they can get too waterlogged, and then that can actually cause other issues, which I guess is kind of like a person. I mean, if you're drinking a ton of water, that can also kill you. So kind of the same situation for dogs. So just be mindful of that too. You know, water can be dangerous, even though you are going to be in the heat. You don't want those dogs to be waterlogged. But also, pavement story with my dog. So I think that maybe dogs might know, at least she knew. I was picking my mom up from the airport when she was visiting a couple weeks ago, and it was during one of those hot stretches, and I had to go to Nashville, and I pulled in right as her flight landed, and they have a nice little waiting area that you can sit there and wait for like 15 minutes or whatever until the person gets out to the curb. And so I pulled over and, you know, gave my dog Nikita water and stuff, took her out. We did a little potty break. And then there was grass literally right in front of my car. And so in the time that it took us to walk the length of my car, because she was standing on the grass and I made sure that she was standing on the grass and the dirt, and then we walked a little bit down the strip of grass that they had there, and then we went to the car, and in the time that it took me to take my, she was standing on the pavement, to take my keys out of my pocket and hit the unlock button, and I looked over at her and she was doing like a hot foot dance and like her leg, it was kind of funny, but I felt really bad because I knew that her four pads were burning. And but yeah, she was like lifting her legs up really high, like, you know, if you put shoes on dogs, that's what she looked like. And but that was in the matter of probably like, what, it probably took me like 3 seconds maybe to like take out your key and hit the unlock button and open the door, that she was on that hot pavement. So and you know, that heat wave is not as bad as what we're talking about here. So that pavement is definitely going to be very dangerous to be walking on. And if your dog does do one of those hot feet dances, don't make them keep walking on the pavement.
That may be the cue to, if you can get up to grass, do so, or that's a good time to go back inside.
Yes.
The dance, so.
Exactly.
Just stay safe, you and your animals and your friends. It's going to be a tough stretch, but as we mentioned, there is, it's not looking, of course, in the middle of it, it's going to feel long, but the scheme of what we just had is not going to be as long, so that's some good news. And relief pretty quickly on the way by the time that we start next week. To what extent? Kind of unknown still, or uncertain. I think we know that we're going to be a little bit cooler, but how cool is still kind of in question. But looks like a little bit of a refresher for the start of next week. I know I've seen a couple of long-range forecast outlooks that favor a below-average trend for the end of July, or the second half of July. But keep in mind, our normal high is basically right around 90 right now, so below-average
exactly
could still be 86, 87. So
even
though it's below-average, it still could be hot and humid.
That's
so
true.
I wouldn't say cool end to the month of July, but maybe below the threshold of hot and average. that in mind.
Say it'll feel probably warm compared to this excessive heat.
Yeah, it'll be a welcome sight for sure.
Yeah.
So we'll wait and see, but definitely some relief on the way. But the middle of the stretch is going to be pretty brutal. I know we've been lucky the last couple weeks to stay dry for concerts in the park, but this is really going to be that first big test. I think a couple weeks ago we did hit maybe 91, 92 on concerts today. Looks like low to mid 90s for this Friday, and also again those high dew points is going to feel very oppressive. So I feel for those in attendance. I also feel for the band, because I feel like
yes.
I feel like musicians get sweaty no matter what.
Right.
And then you're adding the that's going to be rough. So
yeah, that is going to be rough.
Stay hydrated.
And I feel like it's also going to be rough in our studio. Not quite as rough, but mm-hmm. we can't have the AC on because it makes too much noise and our mics pick it up. So our studios already, like for our morning show, get up to 80 degrees in the hour that we have it turned off. So I can only imagine these afternoon and evening shows, how hot it's going to be getting in here. But it'll definitely still feel nice compared to outside.
Yeah.
But
it's not humid, but it is kind of stuffy.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable.
A little bit. But we've already kind of talked about the forecast, but just to officially go over what we have for the 7-day, it does look like, so again, we're going to be seeing that transition pattern. So if you're listening to this on Thursday, then you might be seeing a few of those scattered showers and thunderstorms as we're in that transition period. Then that subtropical ridge really builds over the top of the Ohio Valley. So we're going to be seeing, again, those very hot temperatures from Thursday through Sunday, temperatures in those mid-90s, mm-hmm. but the heat indices in those low hundreds, about 100 to 110 degrees. And then as we head into the later parts of Sunday, it looks like we have an approaching cold front, and that is when we're going to be getting a little bit of relief from this heat. Should be seeing some of those scattered showers and thunderstorms later in the day on Sunday as well as throughout Monday. But we are going to be seeing those cooler temperatures for next week. It looks like those high temperatures will be right around those mid-80s. Overnight lows are going to be pretty warm as well, sitting in those mid-70s. And then after that cold front passes, those will be cooling down to the upper 60s, which is actually our seasonal averages. So our normal maximum temperature is 90 degrees, and the normal minimum is 68 degrees. So, of course, when you're listening to this, likely you'll be in that above average stretch. But headed in towards next week, it does look like, or, you know, Monday, I guess we'll say, and on, it looks like it'll be a little bit cooler, closer to those seasonal averages. But like you said, technically reads as below average, but not that far.
You're not going to be feeling like you're below average when you step outside.
Right.
That was a couple days ago where I think it was about 87 or so, and it was like, this is cooler? Like, this doesn't feel cool?
Yeah.
So that's a.
But I didn't think yesterday was too bad. It was still hot, mm-hmm. but you had the nice breeze.
Yeah, that did help.
So that helps.
Barry did some good. It did get a little gusty.
Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be breezy this weekend. So
it's that hot, dry, calm afternoon that you just,
Yeah, it's going to be not great, but...
But it is July.
Yeah.
So we can't complain too much.
I mean, we've been hot, but I feel like we haven't really had a stretch of extremely hot weather.
Yeah.
And here it is.
Here it is, yeah.
I feel like we at least have to have one a year, so.
Yeah, and it was almost, going back to what we talked about earlier, it was almost the exact time frame of the last couple of years. So this stretch that we just got out of, that was 9 days in a row. That was the longest since, I don't remember the exact dates, but it was 2017. June, July of, I think it was 11 days in a row. And then we also had another 7-day in a row stretch last year, and it was kind of the same time frame too. So seems like just get ready every year, end of June, beginning of July, that's when we seem to get the heat wave, and then we pick back up again. August is also another very hot month, mm-hmm. this part of the country too. So still got maybe another month and a half of the consistent heat. And typically I think our last 90 degree day of the year is usually in mid-September, somewhere in there. So not as consistent, but we still get those jumps of off and on heat waves, or not even waves, just kind of spikes through the early part of September. Then we start to cool off. Kind of a funny addition to that is that we have some of our friends from the church that I attend here in Bowling Green. They're originally from Indiana as well, but they're from the far northern part of Indiana. So they came down here from South Bend, which is right on the river. They get a lot of lake effect snow. There's another guy I talked to from Michigan, and he kind of explained it as that part of the country, you know, you get basically 2 months out of the year of summer, and then it's back into basically fall and winter, because fall a little bit, and then when winter hits, you know it, because lake effect starts as early as November up there. So, but these people from Indiana, they were talking to us, and they were, it was after church, you know, we get to church early in the morning, not too bad, a little muggy, but by the time, of course, they stay for the duration of our services, and they stay a little bit after too, so it's about, you know, almost 1 o'clock before they leave. And they were joking with us because they know I'm a meteorologist, and they're like, we don't get, there's no fall in Kentucky, is there? And I was like, nah, kind of not. You know, you get the humidity, and then you get a little bit of fall, and then it seems like it's right in the winter. And so they're used to more of a comforting fall and spring.
Yeah.
Not really spring. It does take a little while to get out of the winter up that part of the country.
Yeah.
But it's just, you could kind of see the defeat in their face. Like, we don't get fall down here, do we? So that'll be interesting to see how they react.
Oh, that's funny. I know in our news meeting today, I was mentioning this heat wave that we have coming up. And Matt Foster, our sports reporter, he's from Wisconsin. And his head just dropped. He's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I bet you wish that you were back up north. And he looked up the temperature there. And they're supposed to be in the upper 90s.
Wow.
But it's different because it's a drier heat.
That's right, not as
humid. They don't have that humidity like we do. So I'm like, I mean, yeah, your air temperature is higher, but it's probably going to feel a little bit more comfortable just because the humidity really kills you.
Yeah, it's your trade-off. What do you want more? Do
right.
The heat or the humidity and the heat? I don't know.
I have to say, I think our humidity is almost worse this year because last year I didn't have hair problems. This year, I notice all the time, just in the short period that I go to my car or that I'm driving from work to home, my hair, I notice it starts frizzing out, and that's been kind of frustrating as well. So if there's any ladies listening to this, if we had a frizz cast, it would be off the charts.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, I was going to say, too. You talked about upper 70-degree dew points. I think the chart that we use, which is pretty, you know, I looked up a bunch of different other stations and different markets and stuff and to try and get the scale right. And, you know, most of them go to 70 degrees plus as the top of the top. And we're talking about mid to upper 70s.
We're like basically at 80, which
it's
is
like,
ridiculous.
Man, we're going to add another category to our.
Yeah. I don't know what else you would call it because typically the highest one is oppressive.
Barf.
Barf.
Just go back inside.
Yeah. Don't even go outside. Outside's canceled today.
Today's canceled.
Sorry. I can't come into work. It's too humid outside.
But man, this is. It's rough, but hey, I guess we chose this life. I don't know. Midwest,
I guess
Ohio
so.
Valley, summer, here we are.
Yep. All right, well, we also had a question this week.
Yeah, that's my drum roll, by the way. If anybody's got earbuds in, I apologize. That might have been a little too loud.
Our question came from one of our coworkers, and he asked, where do clouds come from?
Yes.
So we've told you there is no dumb question.
That's right.
And we will answer all questions that we get. And there's actually kind of a lot of science that goes through this. So it's probably not as basic of an answer as you would think.
Yeah. And I try to compare it to how, you know, I know we've had a, I don't know if it was a question, but I know we explained how hailstones form. It's kind of that upward idea.
Yeah.
But obviously you need clouds first before you would have a hailstone. But you know, with hailstones, you need something to be kind of the center of that, whether it's a piece of dirt, whether it's, you know, something, some type of particle up in the atmosphere. So first, obviously, you need some moisture too, because, you know, we see high pressure that kind of dries things out in the atmosphere, and that makes it tough for clouds to form because there's no moisture. So clouds are water vapor, so you need that moisture. Hot air, you need that hot air to be able to rise. And kind of bubble up, and you need, again, something to kind of attach it to. I know you mentioned when they asked the question, you're like, cloud nuclei.
Yeah.
Cloud nuclei.
And I'm sure they were like, what is that?
What
is that? It's basically just like what Cody said, just pieces of dirt, something to cling on to in the atmosphere.
And then once you get that, that's where, you know, as that particle starts to rise, you know, water vapor. So it's hot, air, it rises. The temperatures, as you get higher and higher, are cooler, so you get that hot going to cold. It's going to condense and turn into water vapor. That's where you see the clouds. And then there's different physics involved with what type of clouds. I know that was, I did some school visits different talks the last couple of months, and that was, I think, a couple times I had the question of, you know, what makes the cloud? And I explained, you know, the hot air rises, cools, and condenses. And then, well, what about, you know, cirrus versus cumulus? And I'm like, oh, man, like, you're really testing me now. So, yeah, there's different physics involved. Obviously, you know, sometimes you can see the waves in the clouds. That, you know, depends on what's going on in the atmosphere. That if the cloud's going to continue to bubble up, are they going to stretch out, you know, kind of go lateral instead of vertical? So that's more of a complex. I won't go down that road. But the basic question, like we just talked about, you get something to attach. Once it attaches, you get those particles to continue to rise and cool. And you don't see a cloud on your glass, but I mentioned, you know, the same idea of cooling and condensing. With, you get, in the hot summer days, you get a cold glass, you start to see the condensation on the outside, and that's the idea. Obviously, a cloud's not forming off of your glass of sweet tea, because we're in the South, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was a good question. And you know, like you said, there's no dumb question, and we'll always go back. Today's episode 40, we always go back to episode 1, and why is the sky blue? That's kind of our go-to.
Yeah.
There's no basic question, there's no dumb question.
Exactly.
All are welcome.
And to go with the cloud thing, so I know when I was growing up, I always wondered, what does a cloud feel like? And I always wanted to touch a cloud, but fun fact, fog is a type of cloud.
That's true.
So if you're ever wondering what a cloud is like, you can go out on a foggy morning, and there you go.
And you kind of get that idea, too, if you fly on a plane through clouds, too, you kind of see it just kind of going by you almost. It's not really like something solid. It's just more that, you're tearing it apart almost. Like,
well, it wouldn't be good if it was solid and you're trying to go through.
Especially in a plane.
Yeah. No, I don't think that would end too well.
But yeah, you kind of get that cool mist when it's foggy sometimes and you walk through. So, yeah, just a little bit more of an aggressive style of that.
Yeah.
A little bit less visibility, maybe.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, that's as we mentioned in minute 2, we'll mention it here in minute 41, it looks like.
Almost 42. 2 to 42.
So send in your weather questions to weather@wnky.com. That's where you can also send in any topic suggestions if you want us to talk about an entire topic. Or again, if you just have those weather questions you've always wanted to know about, and that's how you got that question today, you kind of pried and said, what's something you've always wanted to know? What have you always wondered about the weather? Yeah. That's what we're looking for.
Yes. Ask your coworkers, too. If you don't have a question, maybe somebody else does. And then you can tell them to listen to our podcast to find out the answer.
That's right.
And, of course, you can also send us photos of your dogs. We talked a lot about dogs today. Still looking for dog walker photos.
The dog days of summer. And also, as we're recording this, we are exactly a month away from our annual Clear the Shelters event, too.
Yes.
So be on the lookout for more details on that. We've got a bunch of shelters this year.
Yes, more than we've ever had.
My first year I started here, we were at 2.
Oh.
Last year, I think we jumped up to 3 or 4.
I think we had 4.
And then this year, I don't even know.
I think we I think it is 7. I was going to say 6 or 7.
So this is just in a short amount of time. This is blown up.
But
this
it's
is
great.
Also one of my favorite events of the year, too.
Yes.
Just, they talk about, you know, when we volunteer, you know, we work everybody's shifts. And when you say shift, you know, it sounds like work, but really, you're hanging out with animals all
day. Get to play with puppies and kitties.
How could you complain about that?
Try to get them adopted. And I'm really excited because I did the math. So I recorded the promo for the Butler County Animal Shelter, and that's where I'm going to be this year.
Yeah.
And when I was recording it, there was a mom dog that was dropped off that morning, and she was about to give birth to puppies. So I'm hoping that those puppies will be just at the right age to be up for adoption.
Oh, that might time out very nice.
But we'll see. They might be maybe a week or two shy, but then maybe they'll be able to put those puppies on hold for someone until they're 8 weeks old. And then, you know, you can get them. So hopefully we'll have some fresh baby puppies that we can have ready for adoption for Clear the Shelters, and I'm excited to meet them.
Yes.
She was a really sweet mom dog, but she was very confused because they literally brought her in a few hours before I got there, but she was so sweet.
That's good, though. So hopefully she finds a good home, too.
Yes. Obviously, elderly dogs, they're a little bit harder to place, I don't think that she was really old, but she's a mother, so yeah. old enough to have puppies. But yeah, so we'll have lots of animals that are ready to be adopted Clear the Shelters.
And that will be a Saturday, yes. August 17th.
Yes.
At the various shelters. I know a couple of them don't have physical locations, so right. They will be teaming up with the ones that do. I think there's one that's teaming up with Bowling Green, another one that's teaming up with maybe Barron County, maybe Hart County, maybe. I don't know.
And we are also going to be partnering with PetSmart locally this year.
So that's pretty neat, too.
Yes. So lots of different places where you can go if you've been thinking about getting a pet. That is the perfect time to do it because...
Adoptions.
You can't beat that. And of course, all the animals will be spayed or neutered, vaccinated, everything ready to go. You just have to go there and pick them up and get some food and water and bowls. And
you're good to go?
Yeah.
Like I said, it's my favorite event, I think, all year.
Yeah.
That we do. So that'll be exciting. Yes.
And it's more like a party. I mean, yeah, like you said, it's like we're working, but...
But not really.
Yeah. We get to have fun. So... Anyways, it's a great time. Come out to that. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, send those weather questions to weather at WNKY.com.
We'll get to those as soon as we can.
Or you could even just say hey to us so we know that we're not just talking to nobody.
True. Very true. If you see us at Clear the Shelters or some of the events that we have coming up, just say hey and drop that question too.
Yeah. And if you want, maybe you'll get a shout out on the podcast.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. More reason to listen. More reason to share.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, I think that covers everything that we had in mind for episode 40.
I think so. That's a good one.
We're getting closer to the big 50.
We are. We'll have to plan something special now.
Maybe Scott will come back in for the 50th. Yeah.
He did say he's going to try and adjust his schedule so he can specifically be here for podcast day. So that's dedication.
That is dedication.
So we'll hopefully have a more Scott Burchett on the shows moving forward. But
yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Don't want to false advertise anything, but be on the lookout.
All right. Well, that will do it for episode 40 of WNKY Weather Weekly. We will talk to you next week. I have been meteorologist Christy Stewart.
And I've been meteorologist Cody Bailey.
See you next week.